I'm Lou Conran.
And I am Sally Ann Hayward.
We're a pair of comedians who've been known to enjoy an alcoholic beverage or 10 over the years, sometimes separately, sometimes together.
But it's occurred to us that we know nothing about the drinks that we love to quaff, and that, unbelievably, there will be some types of liquor out there that we are not acquainted with.
And as we hate missing out, we thought we'd invite some celebrity pals to recommend their go-to tipple and drink along with us while we make them dish the most embarrassing booze-related tales.
And then we give our honest verdict if we are going to spit or swallow. So if it's gross, we drank it so you don't have to.
And it's definitely not just an excuse to open up the drinks cabinet on a Monday night.
Heaven forbid.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I thought...
Oh, do you know what's come up on the Zoom? On the top of my Zoom, it just said, playing music, ?
No, Sally. Yes. No. Yes. Whilst you were doing an impression of a trumpet. Fucking hell.
It says it. Now it says, set up professional audio in audio settings. Musician, goddamn.
No, you're not. Oh my god, am I staring at Pavarotti? I can't bloody believe it.
Anyway.
Oh, Sally. That's made your day, hasn't it?
Oh, what was that tune I was singing?
Was it EastEnders? Coronation Street, Sally. Yeah. Oh, we just had such a wonderful recording. He's very gentle, isn't he, with Rupert?
Lovely. Yeah. Yes, very gentle. Oh. Very sweet. Very funny. Funny when he needs to be.
Yes.
Comes in, doesn't he?
Yeah, quite shy, but really cute and lovely. And
gentle,
Sally,
is the word.
Gentle.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lovely. Stories of nonsense from Coronation Street and all sorts. Oh, Sally.
With a cup of tea.
With a cup of tea. I can't bloody believe it. Oh, Sally, look at you. You're still like buzzing. It's like you should write to Boy George now and say, can you be in Karma Chameleon or whatever the band was called?
It's still on here. Culture Club is still on here. That set up professional audio and audio settings. Right. I really need to do something about my career, okay. Don't I?
You go and sort that out, Sally, and the audience will listen to our lovely episode with the marvellous Rupert Hill.
Today, with a cup of tea and a specific brand of tea, we have Rupert Hill.
Hello.
Hello. How are you, Rupert?
I'm pretty good, actually. Yeah.
Where are you, Rupert?
I'm in my self-built recording studio in my house.
I thought when you first came on the Zoom, Rupert, hello, hi. I thought you're in a padded cell.
Yeah.
Because you've got like some foam on your walls. And I thought, oh gosh, is this going to be one of those recordings where we're going to have to guide the guest through trauma, through old stories of knowing Sally? Is it going to be a traumatic experience? But now I understand that you're a creative. Are you making music there, Rupert?
Your first instinct might be justified. We'll have to see. Most of my conversations end up as some sort of counselling.
Great. Well,
so that we might.
The tone has already lowered, hasn't it? With the
sort of did that, Lou. You kind of did it. It was quite upbeat, and then
Do you know what it is? I'm sorry. I feel really aggressive today. Sorry.
Don't be aggressive to Rupert. Yeah. Very kindly joined us.
It's only a recording studio.
Yeah, okay, exactly. So, do you know what I mean, Rupert? Honestly.
Sorry. Should we start it again?
No, we'll just carry on. We'll carry on, but we'll just lift the tone a little bit. Rupert, you have brought with you a cup of tea.
Yes.
This is you told me you're well into tea. You and your wife can't get enough tea at the moment.
A lot of tea. A lot of tea gets drunk in our household. It's true.
And why tea? Just you like it or?
I think most people can understand the tea thing. Most people in this country can understand the tea thing. It's just, I don't know what it is. It's kind of the rejuvenating quality that it has. It's sort of the first thing I do when I wake up. And I don't know. There's just something about it. And since I gave up booze, because if we'd recorded this only a year and a half ago, then my drink of choice would have been much more dangerous.
Ooh. Well, we'll get on to that.
Yeah.
We'll get on to that. But with the tea, you've been through quite a few brands of tea as well, haven't you? That you've landed on one.
Yeah, I'm ashamed to say, because you know, we thought we were sort of tea connoisseurs, and we kept thinking like we tried everything, you know, the very posh ones,
tea pigs, and all those things.
Yeah, you know, all the
very expensive
crafty teas.
Aren't they? Yeah.
And we ended up saying that the Tesco's own brand of their normal tea is our favourite tea.
Well, there you go.
Wow. You don't have to pay full price for a cuppa these days, do you? Not when you've got your branded tea, Rupert. Where are you from in real life?
In real life, I was born in Southampton.
Oh, because you live up in the north, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I live in Manchester, but yeah, couldn't wait to get out of Southampton. Sorry for anyone listening who's from Southampton, but yeah, it didn't agree with me.
I reckon if you're from somewhere, you're allowed to say that, though. I think if I said that, people would be like, oh, come on, you're not from South. But you gave it your best shot, didn't you?
I did. And I moved to London, lived there, and that's where I knew you, Sally. And I lived there for 10 years, and that got a bit much. And then I moved to Manchester for work. And then when I got to Manchester, I had this kind of hallelujah of like, oh, my God, I'm home.
Oh,
it was profound. Yeah.
That's really nice, isn't it? And then you set up home there and you started building a pub empire as well, didn't you?
Yeah. It was because I'm an actor by trade. And I stopped working around 2007, I was doing one job, which I'd been doing for 4 years. And then I'd stopped that job and was looking for more acting work. And the global financial crisis hit and everything sort of stopped. And I got a bit scared financially. And a friend of mine said, oh, this pub's come up for sale. Do you want to do it? And I was like, well, I need to do something. So I thought, yeah, I was interested in pubs. And I thought, yeah, let's go for it. And we went for it and it worked. And then we got another one and then that worked. And then we got another one. And yeah, that was, and then the rest is history.
Which was the first pub that you, because obviously I have lived in Manchester myself. So the possibility is that I've probably drunk in or vomited in every single one of your pubs. Mm. So which was your first one, please?
The first one was the Castle Hotel.
Oh, lovely. Have you still got that?
Yes.
Oh, it's ace there.
Yeah, that's very cool. It's like it's become a kind of, it's quite an iconic pub now in Manchester's Northern Quarter because of the live music aspect. And yeah, it's much, much loved.
Have you ever been there, Sally? It's next to the Frog and Bucket.
Yes. No. Oh, is it opposite? Is it opposite?
No.
No.
It's on the same side. It's lovely.
Yeah.
I will, though, now.
Yeah, really friendly. Really, although when I had a flat, Rupert, in the Wally Range area, I used to live below some of the people that worked, your bar people that worked there, and they were very noisy, Rupert, and I would have to complain about that, thank you. Take them to task, but that's for another day.
Jan's coming out.
This is my mum.
That sounds like your mum.
Yeah, lovely pub, though. Well done.
Thanks.
I love that you got pubs. So that's quite nice, though. I mean, it's funny, isn't it, in the creative world, I have my fingers in all sorts of pies. So my main job is being a comedian, but there's always that bit of you that goes, oh, God, I better just keep everything else going just in case. And actually, it's sensible, isn't it? But, yeah. I mean, you haven't done badly out of being like that, have you?
No, and I think it kind of keeps your feet on the ground and stops you from becoming a kind of lunatic, you know.
Yes.
You'd stay in the keep one foot in the real world and the other one in the fake magic fantasy entertainment world.
Is this your job preference now, the pubs, or do you still do your acting? You're in a music studio there house.
This is mainly because in COVID during lockdown, me and my wife, we both do quite a lot of radio plays, and we decided we'd make ourselves be able to do them from home.
Yeah.
And so we were lucky enough to keep working during lockdown. So that's what this is, really. It's for voiceover work and for radio plays.
Oh, you do have the voice for voiceovers.
Oh my God, thank you.
Give Rupert a voice to do, Luke.
Be like, a detective.
A pilot.
Okay. A pilot. And then do a detective. Yeah, be a pilot. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking.
Yes.
I don't know what they say next. But
what are you cruising at? How many feet? Go on.
We're cruising at about 30 feet. It's extremely
30
dangerous.
Feet. We're about to crash. Oh my God.
That's really low. Into a house.
Yeah. Now be a detective. Oh, arrest Sally. Yeah.
Sally Ann Haywood, I'm arresting you for the murder of Lou Conran.
Oh,
yes. Yeah. Great one. Yeah.
Here's Rupert. Yeah.
That's reality.
Yeah.
Rupert, when you were growing up in Southampton, you would have been getting drunk, I'm assuming, with your friends. What was your sort of first drink, training drink, if you like? What would you have been using?
It was, I remember us going to, we used to go to the local, like, precinct. And it was special red cider, which was a cider that was in a quite a large bottle. So it must have been about, probably about the same, 600 mils or something like that. But
Classy.
It was gross. I mean, absolutely horrendous. But that's what we drank. And it was, and there was Diamond White was
there. Yes.
And Hooch and Two Dogs and all of those 90s
Sweet.
Drinks that they made to get young people into drinking.
Yeah.
Yes.
What was the percentage of the
Special
pinky?
That was, it was quite strong, I think. Well, no, I don't know. We didn't really think about things like that in those days, but we got very pissed. So it obviously worked.
Ooh.
Could you? Well, you don't drink now, but if you did drink, would you drink those now, do you think?
No, God, no. Although saying that, you know, when I got really bad at drinking, or really good at it, depending on your perspective, I would literally, you know, there was nothing left in the house. If it got that desperate,
right.
I'd have whatever was going. You know, all those crazy drinks that people have for years and years and years. No, not.
I've got some of them.
Yeah. We've got loads of, we've got loads of random booze left over from the podcast. Cherry B, that's what we've got in the cupboard.
Oh, the people come. We were so happy when you said cup of tea. You think, oh, thank God I haven't got to go into some dodgy off license on Crack Alley where that's the only place that serves this shit or sells this shit. And I have to go and buy a dusty bottle. And then I have to just to try it because we've created this podcast.
This monster.
Yes.
Good. So you just got a nice cup of tea.
Yeah. So happy.
Were you two at uni together then? Sorry.
Yeah.
You were. And which uni was this then?
Middlesex.
So what was, you obviously got drunk with Sally then?
We go to parties, didn't we? That would be party time.
But you
I
were
think.
In the you were in the year above, so we didn't hang out with you all the time. But I'm very good friends with Daniel Thurman, who's one of Sally's close friends.
Yeah,
and that was Daniel was kind of my bridge to your world.
My world, come to the world over here.
Sally's world of nonsense.
Yeah, But Rupert in university, and this did the rounds on social media recently because we had quite a special time at uni. I think you'd probably agree, Rupert. We went to Middlesex University, but our degree was done in Anna Pavlo. Is that what's her name? It's not Anna Pavlova. Is that her name? The ballerina.
Yeah, yeah.
It was her old house in Golders Green.
Wow.
It was just us. It was only our degree. So it was like a private school. And the pub was, the university has since sold the house. So the students now don't get the joy of that. But the pub was over the road, the Hare and Hounds.
Yeah.
And so we had all our tutors were on site. We could get them whenever we wanted. The social life was the pub. So it was really special. And so we kind of did you know, we'd all sort of get drunk together in the pub over the road, all the years and the teachers. It was great.
It was magical. I absolutely loved my time there.
Yeah. And then, and also that's what I was saying. So what did the rounds on social media is Rupert made a video when we were there. You were very ahead of the times. Made a video of how, because that was when it was going to be sold. It was going to be sold. So Rupert made a video about the sort of why it was so special and why it should be kept, this magical place. And then it appeared again on social media quite recently. And I went, oh, look, there it is. And it had all of us in it. And it was so joyful. It was fantastic.
That was massive. I mean, if you made that film now, you know, digitally, it would take about a day to put together. It took me months and months.
Oh, really?
It was literally videotape. So I was editing, like cut and paste editing. It was, oh my God. But anyway, I'm so glad I've made it because it's something I've got from that period.
It's so good. It was so nice. Yeah.
Did Sally lead you astray? Because, like, what with her being older than you and that, you know, because that's what she does to me. No. She leads me astray, Rupert.
I always did the leading. Not to Sally, but I've always led myself astray. Mm-hmm.
You have actually, Rupert, haven't you, thinking about it? You're the sort of, you were the, like, we'd go to a party or something. We'd all have some party and you would probably carry on. You'd probably wander off, wouldn't you, to a bar or something somewhere else down the road. You'd think, I need more, not more. I don't mean more fun. I just need to change this scene. And is that fair? Do you think?
Yeah, easily distracted. Mm. I think Steve Coogan called his biography "Easily Distracted." I think, and I remember seeing the front cover and just going, "Yeah, I should read that. That sounds like me." always looking for the next kind of adventure. Although I'm romanticizing it slightly. I don't know. I think in actual fact, since being sober, I realized that a lot of it is just kind of shyness, and I was using booze to just, like, you know, as many people do, to kind of bolster their confidence a bit. I don't know. It's very interesting.
It's like me, Rupert. I'm very shy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Sally.
Ignore her. Do you miss booze?
I don't. I'm so happy to say. But I think, you know, I had some really, really, really fun times on it. And I remember my really good friend who you may well know, Julie Hesmanhaus. She has also kind of given up. She's not given up for, she didn't have a problem with it, but she just realized that she was happier without it. But she said to me, the thing about alcohol is that I've had loads of good times on it, but all of my bad times have been on it. And I remember thinking, that's astute. I think I do have fond memories, and there were some really, really good times, but I feel like I sort of think of it as a kind of computer game that I completed many, many times and there's no need to play it anymore.
God, that's a really good way of putting it, isn't it, Sally? Because when we get very silly and giggly when we're in each other's company, but then there's moments where I think, oh, I just can't do this anymore. And then you're like,
oh, are there?
Yeah.
Well, while I'm there.
Not with you.
They call it hangover, don't they?
Yes, they do, Rupert. And I do suffer really badly. And every time I'm like driving the porcelain bus, I'm like, shouldn't be doing this. I'm really old. I've got to stop it.
You're a proper puker though, aren't you?
Oh, like, yeah.
Yeah, she pukes a lot.
Yeah. But
tell us a drunk story, Rupert. Tell us one of your classics.
Oh.
Delve into that.
I was the one that always comes to mind first of all is so I moved to Manchester to do Coronation Street, which I was in for 4 years. And during that period, I was out of control with alcohol, but loads of us were drinking a lot. And I remember having a day off, and we'd been out the night before till about 3 a.m. And it was one of those mornings we woke up, and it was me and my now wife, Jenny, and a few other friends. And we woke up in my flat and we were like, let's go straight to the pub. So it was like 11 o'clock start, but just to get through what was clearly going to be a horrendous hangover. And we got to this pub And we just started drinking, and you could smoke in those days. So we were smoking as well. The ashtray in front of us was just expanding by the second. And we got 7 pints into a daytime session. And all of a sudden my phone goes and I answer it. And it's the front desk at Coronation Street saying, "Where are you?"
Oh, no.
And
no.
I was like, "What do you mean?" They were like, "Your scene is up in any minute. It's going to be about 20 minutes and your makeup says you haven't been in yet." And I just went, "Oh, thankfully I was literally not that far away from the studio, but I was pissed in a pub." So I just went to everyone, put the phone down, went to everyone, "Guys, I've got a scene at Corrie, got to go." And I walked to the studios, went to my dressing room, brushed my teeth, went down to makeup, and were like, "Please do something to this face." And then I looked at the scene, never seen the scene before in my life. It was about 6 pages.
Oh my God.
A duologue between me and this other actress. It was like a date in a restaurant that we were
having. Oh no.
And I don't know how I learned it. I mean, I was absolutely annihilated. I learned the scene and then went on and did the scene. I barely remember doing it. And then the next day when I was fine again, and I went in and I spoke to the first AD, who was a friend of mine, and I just said, "I'm so sorry about yesterday. I know that you all knew that I was drunk, and I know it was a complete disaster," and blah, blah, blah. And she was like, "We didn't have a clue. What are you talking about? Oh. Absolutely fine." And then I watched it on screen, and when it came on TV, I watched it, and I could, apart from a kind of glaze over my eyes, I was all right, and I got away with it. But this is the problem with, you know, with drinking. I've got many stories where I've drunk whilst at work. That was unintentional, but it became intentional further down the line. And a very well-known theatre director had directed me in a play, and I drunk before going on stage. And then I went on stage and I did the performance. And afterwards she said, "Can I have a word with you?" And I was just like, "Oh God, here it comes. I'm going to be in real trouble." And she just went, "You were so brilliant tonight. Like, I just want to say well done, because it was absolutely amazing." And then that made me think that it was the booze that was making me good. So I kept doing it. And it was this horrible kind of, you know, security blanket that it became, that I thought it was helping me when it definitely wasn't. No. But yeah, lots of those stories.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it, though? That, yeah, you'd kind of go, "Oh, okay, if it's not for the, if I don't drink, then I'm not going to be that loose or that free," or whatever it was that you thought it had given you. Yeah. And so then, yeah, then it becomes the crutch, doesn't it? I've never drunk and got on stage, actually. I mean, I love getting drunk, but I wouldn't trust myself, really.
No, you can't, can you? Because that's why so many comedians are alcoholics, isn't it? Because they just...
Back in the day, not so much now.
Not now, no. People don't really do it that much anymore. But it's that confidence thing of, like, as exactly as you said, that crutch that you need. But
it's when you you know, a lot of actors, the thought of going on stage drunk, would fill them with absolute terror and dread, and it does to it did to me as well, until I did it and it was okay. And then you just sort of go, "Oh no, it's fine." But, you know, Richard Burton was doing like 2 bottles of whiskey and then going,
"Oh my God,
Hamlet." I mean, you just think, how is that possible?
But he was an alcoholic, though, wasn't he? He needed it to get there, to get up, I imagine, let alone get on a stage, I would think. I don't know.
There's a brilliant book called Hellraisers, which is about him and Oliver Reed and Peter O'Toole and Richard Harris. And the first half of the book is so funny. It's just their anecdotes and the shenanigans that they got up to. And it's one of the most joyous, enjoyable books. But then inevitably it gets to the point where all of their organs start malfunctioning.
Yeah.
They start deteriorating. And then the book becomes incredibly sad and dark. And it's just, that was the path that I didn't want to tread, basically, that second half of the book.
Yeah, and you can become a bit of a wanker as well. Not you, but people can become a bit of a wanker, can't they? When they're sort of lovers who drink and sit at the bar and get louder and louder. That image, you sort of think, I don't really want to be that.
No, totally. Mm.
Lou does.
Don't. I hate myself when I'm like, you know, I was out at the weekend, went to a friend's 50th in Blackpool, and we just had cocktail after cocktail. And I knew at the time while I was drinking it, I was like, you know what you're going to be doing tomorrow morning, but delicious. Oh, having so much fun. Mm. Next morning, exactly as predicted. And it's just, I don't know. I can't, I'm fine if I don't have one drink. I'm like, no, I'm not drinking tonight. Absolutely fine. Because we're always driving everywhere. So it's like, well, I can't drink anyway. But then if I'm having one, I'm not just having one, Rupert. I'm having all of it. So yeah, there's the fine line, isn't there? I wonder what it's like to be a controlled drinker.
I don't think there really is such a thing.
No.
The drug is designed to make you want more.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause those
most drugs are.
Yeah. Cause most drinks I'm like, well, I've had an orange juice now. That's enough. I don't need 40 orange juices in the tank.
Shit yourself, Sally. Yeah.
I did Glastonbury this year, and it was my first like Glastonbury completely sober. And it was amazing and really fun and really joyous. And I just loved watching the music and all of that. But what I could not believe how I just didn't need to go to the bar. And people kept saying to me, what do you want? And I'd be like, I'm just not thirsty. I don't need it. I don't need it. And it's really weird, because before I would just be obsessing over how long the queue was at the bar. And I didn't want to get too close to the main stage because I wanted to be able to get out.
Yeah.
And whereas now, you know, I when I watched Paul McCartney, I was kind of right at the front, and I've watched two or three acts before he came on, and I didn't move. I didn't go to the bathroom or anything because I was just, I didn't need to.
I was there. I was at Paul McCartney with my little tin and tonics in my bag. But I'm the same with, when I do go and see bands, I tend not to drink because I want to remember it.
Mm.
And also, I can't be bothered to keep going to the loo. Yeah, I just can't be bothered.
The main thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Glastonbury's got enough colours that you don't need to heighten anything. You can walk around and see so many bizarre things. You sort of don't really need drinking drugs, she says, with a bag of tin and tonics. But
yeah, I know, I agree. Well, I think I think, you know, if people are drinkers and they don't have a problem, then good luck to them. Enjoy yourselves. Have fun.
Yeah.
And I'm just glad that something like Glastonbury can be fun sober. I think that was the happy realisation I took from it.
So because you've got all of these pubs and you've given up drinking now, how is that relationship with your working life in that respect and your non-drinking? Because you're surrounded by it.
Yeah, it became a problem, really, because I was sort of in that world, particularly after COVID, because I was doing a play before COVID. And then when they called the lockdown, that tour got cut short. And so that was it. I was back home. And then once lockdown was lifted, there wasn't really much work going on. So I was back in the businesses, you know, getting them going. And the drinking escalated dramatically around that time. And so when I came to the point where I was like, okay, I need to stop. I'm properly giving up. And it took me a long time to give up. I read a lot of books and, you know, it was in the pipeline for a while. And then all of a sudden I made the decision. And then I just had to say to my business partners, I'm sorry, I'm going. So I've only kept two of the bars.
Oh,
now,
right.
Which are the two that kind of look after themselves. I don't really need to be there. Because I was just like, I don't want to be around that world anymore. I don't want to be. I lost interest in hospitality as a kind of thing. So I stepped away massively. And I was like, I'm not focusing on what I really want to do with my life, which is, you know, acting and I do directing and I make films and stuff like that. So I was like, I'm neglecting that side of my life, and it's precarious and there's no guarantees I'm going to get anywhere with it, but I need to focus on it. So yeah,
I think you're doing brilliantly. Your career's great, Rupert.
You've
already got somewhere with it. So it's great and good for you. And you probably just needed a bit more clarity and a bit more focus, I guess.
Yes, I think so. Yeah. And yeah, I, 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 I was taking a lot for granted, I think. And then, you know, it, but the major thing you get from being sober is just clarity in every aspect of your life. You know, you can, you, everything is so much clearer. And so now I just feel a bit more like I've been woken up.
Wow. Do you feel a bit invincible?
I'm sounding a bit self-help.
No. I think it's great. So I find, the more we do this podcast, obviously, you know, we have a lot of people that their drink of choice is alcohol, obviously. But the more we speak to people that have sort of given up drinking for whatever their reasons, the more I'm thinking, oh, well, Sally, you might need to... to find somebody else to do this with. I think it's interesting though, isn't it? Especially because like when none of us are getting any younger, and I think, am I still going to be twatting about and vomiting when I'm in my 60s? Am I still going to be doing that? I hope not.
You will. She will be.
Yeah, you will.
Thanks, Sally. Yeah.
You're not going on stage pissed though, are you? Look at me trying to keep my those I'm on his awful keeping my drinking friends. Come on, Lou, have some more gin.
No, I have been on stage pissed and it's horrible because you're not well, especially with comedy and the adrenaline, you don't know what the fuck you're about to do. So
you've got to be quicker as a comic. You've got to be quicker than the audience, haven't you? And you can't be when you're pissed. But if it works and you are, then you, like you said before, Reba, all of a sudden you're thinking, oh, this is exactly how I should be.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. Anyway, have you got any more drinking stories at all for us?
Drunk stories.
Did you ever go to the press club in Manchester?
Oh God, yeah.
Tell us about that, because we've talked about that before. Because I used to work at Granada. A friend of mine, we used to go there all the time, and I've talked about this before. But when my friend sat next to a man that had died, and nobody knew that he was dead. So that's the nature of the press club. So
you've been. Have you been there?
Oh God, yeah. Many times.
It's basically like Phoenix Nights. It's supposed to be this like exclusive celebrity, but it's literally like Phoenix Nights. And you go down there and it was the roughest bar with like really bad karaoke going on.
Horrible.
Yeah, but
cans of Red Stripe, wasn't it? Cans of Red Stripe.
Loads of famous people down there. It was really strange, but it was kind of brilliant in its way. I do miss it. It was really, really fun. And I remember one night we were in there and we got absolutely smashed. And there was quite a few of us from Coronation Street. And a whole bunch of us ended up coming back to my flat, which often used to happen because my flat was right in the middle of town. And I remember we basically stayed up all night drinking, and then the sun was coming up, and then a very famous actress who shall remain nameless for her own good, she left absolutely off her face. And I looked out the window just to make sure she was okay, because I thought she was just going to hail a cab and go home. She lived quite far away, if I remember rightly. And all I saw her do was flag down a milkman and commandeer his float or whatever you call it, and she was just barking orders at him. I could hear through my double glazing, and he drove her home. She lived absolutely miles away, but she made him
2 miles an hour
because he recognized her, and then she just took advantage of that and he drove her home. I mean, it was surreal.
I really would like to hope that was Rita Fairclough or whatever her name was.
My lips are
sealed. Please. Oh, gosh. That's hilarious.
Amazing. Oh, I'd love it. Could have been anything. A horse, a hot air balloon.
Yeah,
a milk float. She could have walked quicker. Yeah, that's hilarious.
Taking advantage of her position.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's brilliant. Oh, the mind just boggles, doesn't it? Oh, Sally.
Yeah.
I mean, I've walked home. I've got lifts with strangers. I mean, I've done dangerous stuff, I suppose. Yeah, yeah. But then I guess getting a milk float with a stranger is not that so funny. Oh, God, I love that. How slow they go as well.
It's like a pride float, isn't it? Just because in my head it's Rita. I don't know who it is.
Barking orders.
Yeah, I could just imagine her like, swigging a bit of semi-skimmed sitting in the milk float.
That's that milkman would have loved that, though.
Well, would he, though? I think he would have loved it for the first five minutes.
And then he's on the motorway and the ring road.
M62 up to Liverpool.
Beep, beep.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
With whoever it is.
With that one finger
In the milk float, when you go over the M62 and everybody says, oh, look at that house on its own in the middle of the M60. Yes, we all know about the house on its own. And it's, yeah, that'd be hilarious. Oh, God, we really need to know who this is. But you can tell us when we stop recording, and we promise we won't tell anybody. I potentially will tell my mum, but it's fine. More drunk stories, Rupert, even though you don't drink anymore.
There's been a few occasions I remember where, again, this was in my flat. A lot happened in this flat. And I just remember there like a few random occasions where things, like I remember a mate, we went to see Kasabian and got twatted and then got back, and I woke up and I went into the kitchen and it was just like an absolute, like a bomb had gone off, and I just had no idea what this was. There was like eggs in a frying pan with cornflakes and chocolate. And then I just sort of got my mate up and was like, what did you try and make? And he was like, I think I was trying to make a cornflake omelette with chocolate. And it was just like the most disgusting thing. And my wife did this thing where I woke up and there was just like a Sara Lee gatto that was frozen and just had teeth marks in the side of it. And I was like, why did you buy a frozen cake to eat? Because I don't know.
She was hammered off her face and went, that looks like a good idea. And then it's frozen.
And there's all these things, because I've got a friend of mine as well who is a chef. And she was at a party and she claims that she just fell asleep, but like carried on existing without like lying down. And somebody went into the kitchen and she just had a frying pan and no heat on it, just a frying pan, and was just pouring beer and shaking the frying pan. And someone was like, what are you doing? And she was like, I'm cooking. What do we do? Oh, you know, this horrible things we do to ourselves.
There's stories to tell. And also, you would have been probably in your, when you were living there, 20s, late 20s, would you have been?
Mid-20s, yeah.
Yeah. So my nephew, actually, they were younger. They were early 20s. My nephew, a few years ago, was going to a festival in Bristol, where I live. And I said that him and his friends could stay at my flat. I mean, for God's sake. Now, I say this in horror. So a couple of them were going to sleep in the car. You know, they were young, they're young lads and they don't care. So a couple of them were going to sleep in the car. And I thought, oh, I can't have young lads sleeping in a car on the street. So I said, you can all just stay. I'll you know, like, that's fine. I left them in my flat for a couple of hours. I'd gone to my hot yoga class and I'd left them there. They'd left my flat and gone to the festival while I'd been out. Oh, my God, my flat. Booze everywhere, on the floor, red wine all over the rug. Nothing, it was horrible. And I messaged my nephew and went, you can stay tonight, nobody else can. And it was a it was disgusting. But it's young lads, isn't it? They don't even see it. They're just like, I'll have cornflakes omelette. Lovely.
I love that, though, those pissed up snacks. Sally and I were in London one night with a friend. We'd been out on the Raz, and a friend of ours went into a newsagent's. What time was this? 1 o'clock in the morning, and bought one of those Rustler's burgers.
Yeah.
You know, the pre-pack burgers, and handed it over to the guy behind the counter, who nipped off, put it in a microwave, and then just handed her back with his bare hands this burger. she bought a packet of cheese singles, and then we were just walking through the streets. Well, I think I had one of these burgers as well, eating the burgers and then just picking off the cheese from the plastic and just chucking it everywhere. Then the next morning we walked from the hotel back to the train station, and we managed to retrace our steps because the plastic packet from the Rustlers was there, and we followed this trail of cheese singles wrappers all the way, and we did clean them up because that was, but it's like, what, that's what you want in the middle of the night when you're pissed, isn't it?
Sarah, frozen Sarah Lee Gatto. Yeah. I totally get that. I totally get every step of your wife's evening, getting to that shop, seeing it in the freezer. Yeah. That's what I want. And then, even quite happily eating it frozen. I would have done that.
You've reminded me, Lou, of that burger story. I mean, the things you eat, it's just grotesque, isn't it, when you're smashed.
Mm.
And thank God I was in Coronation Street when people didn't really have... people had mobile phones, but they weren't like smartphones. So there wasn't social media. There wasn't Twitter and Facebook and video messaging and stuff like that. Mm. Because I remember Craig Charles came up to me and he was like, oh, my friend saw you at Euston train station, and you were basically just spread out on the floor eating a Burger King on the main concourse of the waiting area. They just said you were absolutely shit-faced.
Oh, lovely.
Like, but, you know, these days you would just be filmed. You know what I mean? And
don't you wish that the actress in the milk float was filmed? It would have been amazing.
From my POV, it would have been hilarious. I mean, it was like, I don't know, like Monty Python or Carry On something.
Barking orders. Sorry. Yeah,
it's even funnier when you know who it is as well.
I know. Sorry. I really want to know. But I bet you were back to that train station story. I bet you were really comfy. I bet that Burger King. Oh, I bet that was lovely then, wasn't it?
Who knows?
Oh, I bet it was. Just like, I think I've said this before, but my friend, she said she used to look out of her window in the mornings and see her car outside her house, and the seat would always, the driving seat would always be right back. So she'd been out to the pub, not driven, but she'd, rather than going straight home, she'd always get into her car with her chicken and lay right down and eat it laying down, and then just be so happy, and then get out of her car and just go in and go to bed. And she'd look out and go, oh, I had chicken last night, because the driver's seat would be
Eats lying down?
Well, you do in the train station.
Yeah, I did in the train station.
Late night chicken. Oh,
that was through lack of functioning legs, I assume.
Yeah. I don't really eat that much chicken anymore, but I went through a phase of having late night chicken. And this is back in the day, Rupert, when I used to have a lot of colonics. And I had and I had had a colonic once, and I had a pain in my, like, just, well, sort of like in like my solar plexus for ages. Went and had a colonic, and the woman sort of like, I don't know, you probably won't have had one because you're not a wrong one like me, but she sort of like points, it's like the generation game. Oh, there's some rocket. Oh, there's a bit of cheese. Oh, and then she was sort of like pointing out, oh, you've had a vegetable, there's a couple of peas. Oh my God, it's a chicken bone. And I'd eaten like a chicken winter, but I'd obviously, it hadn't been mashed up or anything. Like, I'd obviously inhaled the whole wing. And I just, and this pain that I'd had in my, just gone. So obviously I could have ruptured my, I could have from late night chicken. Oh, gosh.
Oh, it's like when I had my drains, when I had problems with my sewers. Yeah, they came and they put a camera down. Have you ever had that done? Oh, it's so interesting. Put a camera down the pipe, goes right under into the Victorian drainage system. And
is this a euphemism, or are you actually talking about?
This is real drains.
Drains.
Actual drains. And he could show me where my toilet paper had got clogged up.
Fascinating. Yeah. Did you manage to get it unblocked, Sally?
I blocked it with this thing, whatever he was doing. And the drains are working again. You'd be happy to know. It's like your chicken wing.
That's all I needed to do, just ring Dynarod instead of spending fucking hundreds of pounds on somebody shoving a tube up my ass. Horrendous. Sally, you need to do the quiz now.
We've got a quick fire round, Rupert. Let me just find it. Here we go. Okay.
Right. Okay.
White or red wine?
It was red.
Lager or ale?
Lager.
Prosecco or Cava?
Prosecco.
Coke or Pepsi?
Coke.
Tea or coffee? You know that.
Tea. I like coffee though.
Screw cap or cork?
Don't care.
No. Crisps or nuts?
I'm allergic to nuts.
Oh. Manchester or London?
Manchester.
Film or theatre?
Oh, film.
Cafes or pubs?
Cafes.
Coronation Street or EastEnders?
Coronation Street.
Music or theatre?
Stop making me choose between theatre.
I know, I don't know why I've asked that one as well.
Music.
Lou or Sally?
Sally, because of our history.
I've drunk in all your pubs. That's it now. Not going anymore.
He hasn't got as many anymore. You can't even threaten him with that.
Damn. Which ones do you have?
Castle and Gulliver's. They're opposite.
Gulliver's.
Yeah. I've been to Gulliver's.
I've done a show in Gulliver's.
Oh, brilliant.
Well, I'm not going there anymore. Yeah.
we've got to do a cocktail for Rupert. We invent a cocktail.
Okay.
What's it going to be called? Gulliver's Travels. No. Do you think? Gulliver's Castle. Gulliver's Castle.
Okay, right. Mm-hmm. And what's going to be in it?
She doesn't like that. She doesn't like that.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I'm aggressive today, so it's
You're aggressive. She's even more aggressive because I won the competition.
No, it's absolutely fine. Whatever.
What's in it? It's got to be alcohol free, really, hasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, of course, because it's for Rupert.
Yeah.
So, I'm getting.
It's happening.
Right, here we go. You know, you can get those iced teas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like Earl Grey?
Yeah.
Maybe we could get like an Earl Grey kind of iced tea with maybe a syrup in it, like. Maybe a rose, like rose syrup or something in it.
Got to have some milk in it. You've got to have some milk in it because of the milk float. Funny having milk. And some garnished with chips from that have been on the floor of a train station. Okay. That was good. Chips just around the edge. Chips around the edge. Been on the floor. Or maybe it should be in like a little tiny milk. It should be served in a little milk float.
Yeah.
That moves.
Or one of those little tiny milk bottles that you get in cafes.
Oh, you could.
That's quite poncy, isn't it?
Yeah, I like the milk float, like a little milk float. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Or in a milkman's hat.
What's a milkman's hat look like?
Like a cap, innit?
Oh, okay.
I don't know. That's what Benny Hill used to wear, isn't it?
But that was Benny Hill. He wasn't really a milkman, Lou.
Was he not? Oh, writing history. Well, I'm learning today.
Okay, so we've got, what have we got? We've got Earl Grey iced tea. Lovely.
Yeah.
I'm loving that.
Are you a fan of the iced tea, Rupert? Did I ask you that?
Yeah, I do like an iced tea, yeah. I'm not sure about one with milk and chips.
No.
Well, I mean, it's tough. Okay.
Oh gosh! See, now she's being aggressive.
Yeah, yeah. Tough. Right. Scott, you don't have to eat the chips. It's just got that's like a garnish. Yeah, you don't have to touch the chips. It's just to make it look appealing.
Or maybe it'll give it a salty rim.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the salt from the chips. Yeah. Do we slam these iced teas then? Do we do it as like a little slammer with a milk chaser?
Oh. Okay. No. No. I'm going to say no, Sally.
Okay. All right.
I think it's a long drink, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's a long drink with ice. Yeah, you're right. What else can be round it? What else?
I think that's probably enough, isn't it, Sally?
Oh, poor Rupert. What a terrible drink we've made. And we're normally
I think it sounds quite nice, though, an iced tea with some rose shit in it and some...
I suppose the milk is like if you want to add it, but you've got... Yeah, that's up to you. It's on the side in a little float.
Lovely.
Moving. It's got to be moving and it's got to be shouting.
Here we go. Because of your Middlesex school thing... maybe
university.
Maybe you can have like a pavlova on the top because of Anna Pavlova.
Oh, the ballerina. Yeah. Maybe it could be served. Oh no, this is getting ridiculous now. But could it be served in one of those little ballet boxes that with the dancing ballerina?
No, you want it in a milk float, Sally. You said
know.
That.
Yeah, I want a milk float.
Yeah, milk float with a pavlova on the top. Thanks ever so much. Cheers with a chip. Yeah.
Delicious.
You're not rushing out to make that then, Rupert, no?
As soon as I leave.
Yes, of course you will. Yeah. Yes, do send us a picture. I'm sure it'd be delightful.
I'll just have to find my rose syrup.
Yes.
Go to Unicorn. Unicorn will have it in there. They have everything. Yeah.
Unicorn is a sort of like...
Vegan.
Vegan dusty. I'd call it a dusty shop.
There's great in there.
You're right, it is dusty.
Yeah.
There's one very similar to me called Better Buys or something, and it's always a bit dusty. And quite often, they're health food shops, aren't they? And often I look at the staff and think, it's not an advert.
Sally.
Well, they don't look well. They don't look well.
Well, that's because they don't wash, because they don't want to use anything, because it's been touched by animals. So they just are, aren't they? They just are. Maybe we could do a live recording in Gulliver's at some point.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not going in there now, am I? No, that's it. No. I'll do it outside. I'll shout through a window. Yeah. Thank you, Rupert.
Thank you so much for joining. Oh, we got to do spit or swallow on the tea.
Yeah, that's the whole point of us being here, isn't it, Sally?
Tesco tea. It's the one, I've got the one in the red box, yeah.
Yes.
Correct. Okay.
I'm going to say, sorry, it's a spit. I don't, I'm a Yorkshire Gold girl, really.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, it's a spit from me.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I've got very unsophisticated palate. To me, tea is tea.
No.
And it's a swallow from me. I know.
That's fine.
It's nice. Yeah, you see. It all comes around in the end. Thank you so much, Rupert, for joining us. You've
Pleasure.
Been an absolute treat.
Thank you
for your stories.
Thank you,
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Spit or Swallow is produced by Amanda Redman.
If you want to get in touch with us about what you thought about the drinks that we've tried, or recommendations of your own, or you feel like sharing your worst drunken story with us, then please do.
On Twitter and Insta, we are @LouAndSally. Facebook and TikTok is Spit or Swallow Podcast. Or email us at spitorswallowpodcast34, that's the numbers 34, @gmail.com.
If you've enjoyed the podcast, then please subscribe and leave us a review, because this helps other people find us.
And if you want to support the podcast, then go to www.patreon.com/spitorswallowpodcast, where you can find some bonus content.
Thanks to Acast for hosting us, but most of all, thanks to you lot for listening.
That's all for now. See you next time.
Bye!